Maine, Maine, Maine Outdoors. From Rangeley to Eastport, Fort Kent to Kittery, the Maine Outdoors is waiting for all of us to see. The mountains, lakes, and rivers, the wildlife and the woods are just outside your doorway, so get outside and find it in the Maine Outdoors. Fishing and hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the Maine Outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your outdoors hotline. Each Sunday night at 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to the radio to the Maine Outdoors.
Welcome to the Maine Outdoors.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Maine Outdoors, Maine's longest-running outdoor talk radio program. And you know, if you're a deer hunter, this is the month we've all been waiting for, deer season 2023. And coincidentally, we have as a guest tonight the man who knows what's going on out there in the deer woods. He is the IF&W deer research leader. Nathan Bieber will be our guest tonight. And we hope you have questions for Nathan. If you have anything you want to ask about white-tailed deer, he's the guy to ask. And we have a telephone number that you can call. And what's that number, Bob Lehman?
My number here, 1-800-966-1039. And you have to dial the whole number, even if you're local. 1-800-966-1039.
Okay, and we want people to call in, right?
We certainly do.
Okay, our crew tonight is the guy who's always there behind the controls in the operations center. What do we call him, Bob?
The Scourge of Grand Lake Stream.
not the Scourge of Grand Lake Stream. The Sweetheart of Grand Lake Stream.
Ouch. Forgive me.
Norman Floyd.
Good evening, and I'll ignore that.
Does your wife mind if we call you the Sweetheart of Grand Lake Stream?
She doesn't have a clue.
She what?
She doesn't listen.
She doesn't listen?
No, so she wouldn't know.
She doesn't listen to the program?
She doesn't listen to the
program. You got
to
be kidding me.
I'm very serious.
I can't. I'm disappointed. My wife always listens.
Always does?
Unless she's visiting Alice.
Alice doesn't often listen.
Okay. Anyway, we got a good show lined up tonight. And we have with us, too, tonight, who's been away on a little bit of vacation. He is the esteemed co-host of this program and has been for many years. He has a pedigree that goes way back. He's a master Maine guide. He's been a game warden. He ran a fly shop. He knows his way around a trout lake like you wouldn't believe. And he knows how to tie the most beautiful streamer flies you have ever seen.
Thank you very kindly.
Bob Lehman.
I appreciate it and so proud to be here.
Nice to have you here, sir.
And you've been out in the field.
I've been hunting since the bow season started in September.
Holy smokes.
I get a lot of time
invested. No luck as yet, huh?
No, I've seen
some.
Not
even close?
No shots taken.
No? Well, good. Yep. You will.
I'm hunting with the bow one day and the next day with a gun. So
well, there you are. That's way to go.
Mixing it up.
Did Di go with you?
Yeah, Di went with me opening day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we went in our bathing suits.
Yes, I bet you were. Took a morning dip before we got started.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. And had some iced tea with us. It was a lovely morning, but no deer. But only a crazy deer would be moving around that heat, I would think. Yeah. But anyway, it's going to cool off, and the deer season is going to take off, I think, this week like you won't believe. I hope so. A couple of things to remind you. Again, you know the phone number, and you know that we really encourage you to take part in our program tonight. We have a good guest. Nathan knows his way around the deer woods. He's a research leader, and he studied these animals, and he is here to answer your questions. And we want you to call in. We insist and demand that you call us.
We certainly do.
And the number to call is
1-800-966-1039.
All right, a couple other things. So this program is sponsored every week in part by my favorite outdoor publication, the Northwood Sporting Journal. If you'd like to, if you buy it at the newsstand, you know you can save a few dollars by simply signing up for a subscription.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You save a bundle of money.
I should say.
And you can do that by calling Alicia at the office during the week. And her number is 732-4880, 732-4880. And be sure to check out our website. And when you do, click on Maine Outdoor Connections, and you can find answers to so many different questions you might have. And you can also check out our complete listing of wild game recipes. So don't miss that. Let's see. Outdoor Digest time. A couple of things here. As we mentioned at the opening, the November deer season is in full swing. And it lasts, well, how long does it go, Nathan? What, 20, end of the month?
About 4 weeks for the firearm season.
4 weeks of firearm, then, of course, the muzzleloader, right?
Yep.
After that. And anyway, the deer season is on in full swing. The weather's going to cool down this week, which is good news. We even heard a report, Bob Lehman heard a report, that we may get snow up north.
I've heard that. Maybe. Well, listen, cold weather, that'll get the bucks going, won't it?
I would think so. Yeah. Good tracking snow, maybe. Yeah. Also want to remind you, you know, hunter safety is always should be foremost on everybody's mind. We want to remind you, you got to wear two pieces of fluorescent orange. That's the law. And also want to remind you to be careful when you're loading and unloading your firearms. That's the time that accidents happen. Make sure that muzzle is pointed in the safe direction and have a safe hunt. On that note, I think we should probably usher in Bob's favorite band.
I'm the big boss bass.
Yeah.
And you work for me.
Yeah.
This is my rock.
Yeah.
Oh, Bobby, you do that so well. What's going on in the fishing world?
I got lessons from Jimmy Layton.
Jimmy Layton, yeah.
He used to do that.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, we miss Jimmy.
We do. What's going on in the fishing world?
Well, the fishing world, there's a lot going on. There's a couple of new proposals here.
Yeah? What's that?
People may be interested in. There's one at State Heritage Fishing Waters, which says that the commissioner may not stock or issue a permit to stock fish in a lake or pond listed as State Heritage Fish Waters. Also, a person may not use live bait as bait or possess live fish to be used as bait on a lake or pond listed as South Heritage Fishwater. This may include an artificial lures only or fly fishing only. And then I have another one here, real quick. Revise the proposed regulation for East Grand Lake. What they want to do is being able to keep their ice fishing shacks on the water until seasons end, and it looks like they're going to get it. So that's the two right there. And I got a question for you, Paul.
Okay, go ahead.
have you heard of river herring?
Yes, I have.
And what is river herring to you?
A river herring is an alewife.
That's wrong.
No, it isn't.
There is a species of river herring, and it's rainbow river herring.
I always
it really thought, is, yes.
Now, we've
it's
always...
Rare, it's rare, but it exists.
Yeah, okay, if you say so.
Yeah.
I've always been under the understanding that an alewife was the same thing as a river herring.
It is not. Sounds pretty fishy to me.
It does sound fishy. Sounds like an anchovy to me. You sure it's not an anchovy?
No, that's the truth, I'm telling you. That's
okay.
The truth.
All right.
So when they say river herring, it's not a river herring. It's an alewife.
Okay. I'm confused.
It's rare. It's very rare, but there definitely is one. It's a rainbow river herring, no question about it.
Okay.
And they're very distinguishable. From alewives. Much so. They have kind of a rainbow coloring on the side of them, like a smelt.
Do you like anchovies?
Rather not. I'd rather not have them on my pizza.
Not my favorite thing.
No.
Anyway, but they're good for making. By the way, Norm, have you cooked that Italian dish yet, puttanesca?
I'm afraid not. I keep forgetting.
Oh, it's fantastic. I had my buddy, who's the Italian cook we had on the air,
cooked me
a puttanesca.
Yeah.
And it had anchovies in it, but they were so small, you couldn't tell. It was delicious.
Oh, wow.
Really good, yeah. Anyway, we digress. Is that that's the fishing report for tonight?
That'll do it for this evening, yes. Until next week.
All right. Thank you, sir. Nice to have you back.
Thank you.
Okay. Our guest again tonight, if you joined us late. Now, listen carefully. We're going to talk about deer tonight. The deer season is on us. It's my favorite time of the year, and I know if you're a deer hunter, it's yours as well. And we're lucky to have Nathan Bieber, the deer research leader for IFNW, here in our studio, in person, in the flesh, and he is here to answer any questions you may have about the whitetail deer in the state of Maine. And the number, Bob, if somebody wants to give us a jingle, is...
1-800-966-1039.
Okay, before we get to the formal interview with Nathan... he's agreed to read the trivia question. Now, if you get the answer to Nathan's question, we're going to give you a one-year subscription to Bob's favorite publication, the Northwoods Sporting Journal, worth $31.95. It's a one-year subscription. After it runs out, we kind of hope you'll continue to stay with the program.
Yeah, I would think they would after reading that. That's a marvelous right. Especially this coming month.
And we have a question here that could be difficult. We're not sure. Sometimes we like to bend your mind a little bit, and we're going to lay this on you and see if you have the answer. And what is the question, Nathan?
The question is, an animal that actively feeds during daytime is called diurnal, or if it feeds at night, nocturnal. What is the word for a twilight feeder, like a white-tailed deer?
Okay, and you didn't dream this question up, right?
I did not.
No, but you knew the answer.
I did.
So if you did, others must.
I think so.
Okay. 1-800-966-1039. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back with Maine Outdoors, and we're standing by with a subscription to the Northwoods Sporting Journal worth about $32 if you have an answer to Nathan Bieber's question. He wants to tell him what is the word for a twilight feeder, like a white-tailed deer. Let's take a call. Good evening. You're in Maine Outdoors. I'd like to have your name and where you're from.
My name is Russ, and I'm from Garland.
Hi, Ralph.
I don't know how to pronounce it well, but I think the word is crepuscula or something like that.
Oh, Ralph, you really murdered, you mutilated that word. What do you think, Nathan?
He's got the right word.
All right. How do you pronounce that dang thing anyway?
That would be crepuscular.
Oh, crepuscular.
Yes, sir.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. You want to try that, Ralph?
No. I get tongue-tied.
I like your style, Ralph. I like your style. You have your pronunciation really stinks, but boy, you got the right answer. Very good. Congratulations, Ralph. Now, how did you know that?
Oh, I've just read it in magazines.
Oh, did you? Okay, good for you. We thought that'd be a tough question. Might take a half an hour to get an answer, but you've done well, and you have won a subscription to the Journal. Now, do you have one now?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, you're missing out, but now you're going to have one, and we look forward to sending it to you, Ralph.
Okay.
All right. And where do you live again?
Garland.
In Garland. Oh, that's right next door here. That's next to you, Nathan, right?
I'm in Hudson.
He's in Hudson, yeah.
Hudson, yeah.
Yeah. And are you a deer hunter?
Yeah.
You are. Have you been?
I've tagged out already on a...
What?
On a doe. I get one of those permits, so now I can still hunt for a buck, I guess.
Yeah, isn't that a great new idea, huh?
Yeah.
Be able to take your...
I'm a bow hunter, so it kind of works out pretty good.
All right, you are a bow hunter.
Yeah.
As am I. What do you use for a bow, Ralph?
Well, I used to use a compound, but I'm getting up there in age, so I'm down to a crossbow, I guess.
Down to a crossbow. Well, yeah. People keep...
I don't care for the things, but they do work well.
They do work. They're lethal, aren't they? Yeah. Yeah. Can I ask how old you are, Ralph?
73.
Ooh. Just a kid, right, Bob?
You bet he is.
Young
Yeah. Well, I got a few years on you there, Ralph, but I'm still able to pull back my compound bow. And
oh, really?
I had to tune it down to 55 pounds, but I can still squeeze it back a little bit. And I'm getting thinking crossbows maybe in a year or two. Yeah.
Yeah, I get shoulder problems.
Yeah, so, oh, I see.
So crossbows work for me.
Yeah. Well, I've been blessed. I have all my original joints.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good for you.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on getting your doe, and good luck in the deer woods. Anything else on your mind before we hook you up off the air to get your address?
No.
All right. Good luck to you, and stay on the line, and Norm will get your address, and we'll get you a subscription right out to you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ralph. All right, that is the correct word, and I'm not sure I can pronounce that thing. Crepuscular.
You got it. You nailed
it. Try that, Bob.
Crepuscular.
Good.
Close enough.
All right, that is the right answer.
Sounds like an open wound.
Yeah, yeah. Twilight feeders. And they are twilight feeders, aren't they?
They are. They're most active at twilight anyhow.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, nice to have you on board tonight, Nathan. And for those who may not know you, how long have you been the deer research leader now?
A little over 6 years now.
6 years. You're getting to be a veteran. Yeah. And did you go to UMaine?
No, I went to University of Nebraska for grad school, and then University of Minnesota for my undergraduate.
Okay. And how do you like your job so far?
It's a lot, but I like it. It's probably the only job on earth I would kind of enjoy. I was kind of born ready to retire, but as far as jobs go, this is a good one for me.
Yeah, good for you. All right. All right, let's...
How old are you, Nathan?
I'm the reverse of the caller. I'm 37.
Those are the days, eh, Bob?
I should say so. Yeah.
Let's start out with the obvious first question I think anybody would ask you. What's the outlook for the deer hunting fall of 2023? Your thoughts?
Well, it hasn't started very well, I'll say that much. We had the two-day youth hunt for the first time this year, and it was pretty rainy throughout all of that.
Yeah.
And, of course, opening day yesterday was just ridiculously hot. I went out and sat the morning, but I didn't even bother with the afternoon. It was just too hot for my liking.
Yeah, same thing for us. We had it by 10 o'clock.
Yeah. So not a good weather start, but should be a pretty good season. I'd be shocked if we approach last year's total harvest. I just am not in the habit of predicting records, so I don't think we'll be topping that number, but should be another good year.
And we were talking before the program. I asked you the question of why did we have a record harvest last year? And you said the number was 43,000 something, 700?
Yep.
And what's the explanation for that, do you think?
A lot goes into that. Part of it is a lot of deer. Part of it is a lot of hunter interest. And then part of it is the change to antlerless permits allowing a hunter to take an antlerless deer and keep buck hunting. Yeah. So hunters were a little more willing to take an antlerless deer than they would have been in the past.
Yeah. And that came about, that was a change that came about through, I guess, a recognition that most deer hunters like to hold out for that big buck. And a lot of times they never take a doe.
That's right. We were falling short of our doe harvest goals year after year after year after year. And you do that so long, eventually you got to make a change.
Yeah. I think it was a good change, don't you?
We were like 0.6% ahead of our goal last year for doe harvest after being on average about 18% below. So good first year, but takes a lot of years to really know if the changes are going to work out long term. But first year was really encouraging.
So the scientific or the management goal or the reason behind this, the rationale for this, was to try to cull more does out of the herd, right?
In some years. Some years we're not going to want to kill as many does, but we just want better precision. So we want, whether our goal is to take more or less, we want to actually be able to hit that goal and not be above, not be short, just be more precise.
Yeah, and it takes a few years to figure this out?
It's going to take a while. First year was good, though. So very encouraged with 1 year.
Now, in southern coastal Maine and southern Maine, there's still an excess population of does, right?
More than we would like in some districts in southern Maine, so we're continually ramping up permit numbers every year after year after year. But in some of those areas, we're kind of capped as far as what we can get for effort out of hunters, it seems like. Any hunter that wants a permit is currently getting a permit still.
Yeah.
And so there's just nowhere else to put the permits on additional hunters. So some of those areas, we're kind of getting what we can for doe harvest.
Yeah. Now, I know that you had the normal issue of doe permits, and then you had two different sales. And that was, I'm assuming that was because not enough people applied for doe permits. You had the special sale for any deer permits, right?
Yeah, we did that last year and this year as well. And what we did in the past when we used to have the any deer permits is we would still have those extra permits that we didn't get rid of, and we would just allocate them as bonus permits. But now we're selling them through the website as like additional sales. So when we have more permits than applicants, all those extras are just sold through the website on a first-come, first-served basis. So if a hunter sees one of those permits and wants to make a very intentional choice to say, yeah, I'm interested in taking another doe, I'm going to go buy a permit. That's the kind of hunter we want to get a permit into their hands because they want to take a doe. And so by selling them through the website, we can kind of tailor who's getting those permits a little bit better.
Are those still available or is it closed?
They're still available in some districts. I don't know which ones off the top of my head, but they'd be in the low 20s, like 24, 25, 23, those districts.
And some of those are still available, right?
Yep, that's right. And we'll probably, if you've already bought one of those, we'll probably open up sales again. I think last year we did it maybe halfway through the gun season or something like that.
Oh, okay.
So there'll be a couple rounds of sales of those permits.
Yeah, good. We have a caller standing by. Let's take it. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors with Deer Research Leader Nathan Bieber.
Hello, I'm Bob. I'm in Harmony.
Hey, Bob.
Hi. And I was driving up the road in Harmony, and I saw a dog run across the road, kind of ran funny, black dog. And so as I drove closer, I slowed down and looked in the woods, and I saw a deer run off, and right behind it was a black deer. Never seen one in my life. And I looked them up, and they're even rarer than albino deers. They're 1 in 500,000.
Wow.
And I just figured I would report that to you. I mean, that was a rarity that I saw.
Yeah, that's super rare. That'd be called a melanistic deer. And
melanistic,
yeah. And unlike an albino deer, which has no pigment, a melanistic deer has an excess of pigment. And you're right, it's super duper rare. I've never got a picture of one since I've been here. Usually I get all sorts of pictures of weird deer. But the only record I'm aware of a melanistic deer in Maine where they got a picture was in like 2012 or something, when the Portland Press Herald ran a picture of a melanistic deer that some kid shot during the hunting season. So very rare, but there's actually some weird things too. Like in Texas, there's a couple counties where for whatever reason, melanistic deer are somewhat common. But other than that weird little spot in Texas, it's incredibly rare.
It occurs in some animals too. Other animals, like for instance, rabbit.
Yeah, and squirrels too. You'll see lots of black squirrels.
Yes, you do. Black squirrels, black.
Oh, is that right?
Horseshoe hares, yeah.
I've never seen a black squirrel. Have you seen a black squirrel?
I have not.
No.
I've seen a black horseshoe hare, though.
Yeah.
Not hunting. Fella showed it to me.
There's a lot of them in Canada, from what I hear.
Yeah. And I've been black to squirrels. Toronto, and there was quite a few black squirrels there.
No kidding. Yeah. Hey, we've learned another new word tonight, Bob. Now we have crepuscular. Now we have. Here I go again.
Melanistic.
I'm not even going to attempt that word.
How do you say that, Nathan?
Crepuscular.
And the other one is melanistic?
Yep. There we go. Two on the list so far.
Melanistic. That'd make a good trivia question for next week. I'll have to write that down. Melanistic. Okay, Bob. That's fascinating. You got a chance to see a black deer. You won't probably see that again the rest of your life, right?
It had a white tail, but it wasn't much white on there. The top of it was black too.
Yeah. Isn't that incredible? Wow.
Wild.
Yeah. Okay, now would that deer...
I wish I had my phone ready to take a picture, but afterwards you go, oh!
Yeah.
That's always the case. Oh. Yeah.
Okay, guys, I think I'd call and let you know that.
Okay, well, we appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Bob. Yep. We have another caller standing by. Good evening, you're in Maine Outdoors with Nathan Bieber. Go ahead.
Hey there, this is Sneaker in Norway.
Hey, Sneaker, how are you?
You know who Not that is.
Nathan, I got a hold of you, I guess it was in... April, May, about the deer I was seeing close up, like in my backyard. All right, they looked like they might have mange.
Mm-hmm.
And you got back to me and said, well, you know, probably not, you know, this, that, and the other thing. Well, you were right. I had never seen a deer go through the shedding up close like we did this year. It ended up by four different ones. One of them was he ended up by having some pretty good spikes the last time we saw him, which was probably in August. But it was amazing to see them look so scrungy, all right, and then have their fur come in, and they were absolutely beautiful.
Yep.
So I learned something, and thank you very much for the information. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Fern.
Okay, appreciate the call, Fern.
Okay, hey, thank you.
Good luck in the deer.
Good work, guys.
Thank you. Good luck in the deer woods.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, we're going to take a commercial break here in a minute. A quick question. Sometimes I digress, Nathan, but I know you're a deer hunter, and I know you know those animals. Do you rattle at all when you hunt?
I don't usually do any calls. I've just never personally had any luck with them. I know a lot of other people do, but they've never done anything for me, so I don't even bother.
You don't rattle or... doe bleats or anything like that?
If I get really bored, I have an app on my phone that plays deer calls, and sometimes I'll just start blasting those. But other than that, I don't really.
Okay. I had luck one time in my life rattling. I called a buck in. I was really very surprised. I was almost as surprised as he was. Okay. No more calls stacked up right now?
No, we don't.
Okay. Would this be an appropriate time for a break?
Great time.
All right. Let's take a break. You folks at home, what's the number again, Bob?
1-800-966-1039.
Okay. You stay with us. We'll be right back. Okay. We're back with our guest tonight, Nathan Bieber from the IFW. He's the deer research leader, works out of Bangor. And again, we encourage you to ask questions of Nathan if you so choose. I had a question I want to put to you. We had a struggle with the deer population up north in the big woods. Coyotes were part of the reason. Heavy weather, nasty, deep snow winters. Is there any type of comeback taking place up in what we call the North Woods, Nathan?
As far as numbers go, it's kind of boom or bust like it's always been up there. You get a string of bad winters, you're going to see a bust. You get some mild winters, you're going to see a little bit more of a boom. But really the kind of peak for deer in northern Maine was like 50, 60 years ago when there was still a lot of good wintering cover. Coyotes were not fully established yet. It's really kind of a golden era for deer up there, and there's not really a way to return to that. There's pretty healthy predator population up there now. We don't have the wintering cover we used to. So it's always going to be kind of this up and down, and that's still very much where we're at up there.
Now, we've had a coyote control program in the North Woods. What last, what, 5 years, 10 years it's been?
Yeah, it's been longer than that, but I'm not sure when it started.
Do you think that's helped at all?
I think it probably helps very locally in the areas where the program's applied, but whether or not it has an impact on the greater landscape is pretty in question, I think.
Yeah. Do you think black bears take as many young deer as coyotes?
I'm not sure how the two would compare, but they're definitely opportunists that'll take a fawn anytime they see one. They'll just peel it like a banana and eat the whole thing.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, wow. Okay, and deer yards have been part of the problem up north. Lack of deer wintering areas, right?
Yep, certainly doesn't help. And the dynamic of wintering deer in northern Maine has changed a lot, too, where even some of the good wintering cover we do have left doesn't have deer in it because they're kind of hanging out in town now where people are feeding them. So it's just a much different dynamic up there for wintering deer than it maybe was 50 or 60 years ago.
And you don't encourage people to feed wintering deer, right?
We're a little more stance neutral now than we have been in the past, and we just hope that people who are going to feed deer will come to us for advice if they're going to do that. Because a lot of people want to feed deer, and they do it in ways that are detrimental. They'll feed near roads. We definitely don't want people doing that. They'll start dumping all sorts of weird random foods out there. And we just like to give them guidance. If they're really interested in feeding, they're going to do it. So we want to give them some advice.
Well, that's quite a switcheroony. I mean, you're stance neutral. That for years, IFNW has discouraged people from winter feeding of deer for a number of reasons. But you've taken a more neutral stance on that. Is that
at least for northern Maine? Southern and central Maine, there's really no reason to feed deer. They don't need it. But in northern Maine, in a severe winter, feeding will improve their survival, and so it's an uphill battle trying to convince people not to do it. So just come to us for advice if you're going to do it. We'd like to try to at least steer what you're doing in a better direction.
So you get tired of fighting that, right?
Okay, it's on the job.
Okay,
there's no law against it, is there?
No.
Now, there's certain times of the year when you can feed, but you can feed during the winter.
Yeah. Okay, we have callers stacked up. Let's take a call. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors with Nathan Bieber. Go ahead.
Good evening. Yes, sir. About a general question on hunting. First of all, I'm a very proficient skeet shooter. 12-gauge full choke. Winchester, I love it. I get a lot of 49 out of 50 hits.
Wow.
Also a NRA pro marksman in high school, and even a fencing award from the University of Maine. Okay, so guns and weapons I'm okay with. I think it would be fun to have a shotgun-only deer season. I got to tell you, that 12-gauge full-choke shotgun is a cannon. And I that's what I use. And I think we could drop the rifles for a while.
Why would we want to?
Practical weapons.
Why would we want to do that?
I got to tell you, you get more deer with that shotgun than you do rifles.
Well, you know, I used to hunt with a semi-automatic 12-gauge with slugs. And, you know, it's a good tool. Is that what you're saying?
Good for 100 yards.
Yeah, they're pretty accurate,
But, I mean, do we really need the high-powered rifles out there? I mean, of course, people like to target shoot. I understand. But if you had to really eat, I think the shotgun, you'd get more meat.
Yeah. Well, it's a personal choice thing, isn't it, really?
Well, they're a little safer out there. I mean, you don't have a shell... A bullet going a mile and a half through your house, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that I love that full choke 12-gauge.
Yeah.
I just, you know.
Okay.
What do your guests have an opinion on that? Or?
Nathan, you have an opinion?
I think generally if it's a safety concern, it's going to be up to the town to limit the weapon choice. Other than that, for firearms, I don't know what problem we'd be fixing. And usually we don't change stuff unless we're trying to fix something that's not working. So I don't really see a reason currently why we would push to make it shotgun only. But certainly a conversation worth having sometime if you ever want to call my office.
I think it's more efficient. More efficient. The Maine woods are pretty thick.
Yeah. Well, you got a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, thanks a lot.
All right. Appreciate the call.
Good to see you.
All right. Thank you. All right. Interesting. Yeah. We have another caller. Let's take it. Good evening. You're on Maine Outdoors with Nathan Bieber. Go ahead.
Well, hello there. We were just wondering how Bob is doing and glad to hear he's back.
Well, aren't you nice to say that? Thank you very much.
Yes, this is Eric Warren from Port Clinton, Ohio.
Oh, for God's sake, how are you? how's the missus?
Oh, she's doing wonderful.
That's great.
Better.
That's great.
There we go. Nice to hear you. Tell Alice we said hi.
Okay. Is your ankle all healed up? Or?
Oh, yes. So much better. Thank you so much.
That's good.
And well, it's just good to hear you and Norm and D. Paul Reynolds together again. We love you guys. And it's been very informative with your guest that I've lost his name. But really, this has been a great show. Thank you for letting us come say hi.
Thank you for calling, Michelle and Eric.
And we are so proud to have the Warrens listening all the way out in Ohio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You bet.
Nice to hear from you folks.
See you again in the spring, hopefully.
Yes, you will.
We'll look forward.
Happy Thanksgiving. Take care.
Yes.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. One of the things we mentioned before the call there is that the deer yards are always an issue. And I know that some money has been raised to try to have IFNW actually purchase and own significant deer yards. Can you tell us about that a little bit, Nathan?
Yep. A couple of bills were passed pretty recently in the last few years, and they gave us some different funding sources to acquire and manage deer running habitat. One of those gave us more access to some money through land for Maine's future. And then the other attached a permit fee to our new antlerless deer permits, and all the permit fee revenues are deposited into our deer management fund to be used for deer habitat acquisition and management. And we're primarily focused on wintering habitat at this time. And we've kind of wrapped up two projects at this point. One is up in Woodland Washburn area, and the other one is in Rangeley, and we've got a few others in the works.
So you've actually acquired a couple major deer yards?
Yeah, I believe there's two that are technically completed, two more projects that are near completion at last I heard, and a few others that are kind of in the hopper but need some more progress.
Yeah.
We actually hired someone just to oversee those funds and the management of those properties, though, so I'm just kind of involved at the edge of the effort now.
So some one person is in charge of finding the appropriate deer yards for purchase?
We kind of rely on all of our regional staff and our warden service staff, and then this staff member as well to look for properties, and then he scouts those properties out and checks the boundaries out, checks out their potential for wintering deer, and he's also got a forestry background, so he can write forest management plans once we have acquired the properties.
Yeah. There's a lot of potential there, right? Trying to preserve deer yards, I would think.
It's a very long-term vision. We hope that it'll help with deer numbers in northern Maine, but at the very worst, they're also going to be wildlife management areas open to public access for recreation.
Oh, that's
so
great.
Anytime you can add to your public land holdings for people to recreate, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. We have another caller, right, Norm? Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Mark from Waterville. How are you guys doing tonight?
Hey, Mark.
Hey, I got a question for you, Nathan. I've got a place down in Southwest Harbor, and is there any possibility that anytime in the near future, I know it's like the bridge going over there is not open to bow hunting, but to be honest with you, I've got a place down there, and they're out of control. They're like eating my hedge. They're eating my flowers. Is that a potential to open up at some point, and is that a state thing or is that a local thing? And the second part of my question is, if it's not going to be open, do you have any recommendations? I've been putting soap into my property to keep the deer away. Any suggestions?
So Southwest Harbor's MDI, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been closed for a very long time to hunting, and it's really a kind of a local thing at this point. It comes up maybe every 3-4 years, it seems like, where one of those towns wants to put on some kind of hunt or open up the island to hunting, and it always kind of ends the same way, where we say, okay, if you guys really want to do this, we'll support it, but you got to get the support of the town. And so we go to the town, and they hold town meetings, and it seems like there's support, and then kind of at the last hour, a bunch of opposition comes forward, and there's no hunting. Whether or not it's in the cards for the future, really hard to say. It's going to be very much a local issue, and the island community is, I think, different than the mainland in a lot of ways, so it's really hard to predict what's going to happen there. So really what we have to rely on now, because it's kind of our only tool, are what are called depredation permits, and that just allows very localized harvest to people who are having issues on their property with deer damaging plants and other things. And in those cases, we can work with our warden service and issue them a depredation permit to remove specific problem animals. But whether or not hunting broadly will be allowed there in the future, boy, it's been a long time and nothing's budged there. So yeah. I would be loath to predict it.
So many deer on the island that all the gardens are fenced in.
Yeah.
And I've got some really nice pictures of deer in Southwest Harbor.
Eating geraniums?
Yeah. No, but they were just kind of lounging in the field and didn't care whether we were there or not.
Yeah, yeah.
And as far, I agree with that. It's funny because I have a beautiful hedge, and I don't know why, but they love that. They eat it constantly. They eat the flowers. And I've got a crabapple tree, ironically not right by my rear exit door. They love that. They'll sit there. I can slam that door, walk out, and they just look at me like, you're disturbing me. What are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I guess if you wanted to, caller, you could get a depredation permit, right, Nathan?
How does that work?
Potentially, it's a case-by-case basis. If it's just someone who's got deer eating plants in their yard, that's not really going to be an appropriate situation. But if you've got like a little piece of land or a little farm or something like that, then you could work with our warden service and we would assess that on a case-by-case basis. And we always ask that people make a good faith effort to control their deer problems with non-lethal means first. So that'd be things like fencing off preferred plants, trying things like hazing deer or deterrence, chemical deterrence, noise deterrence. And if none of that stuff works, then we could explore potentially taking a lethal approach to things. But that's kind of our last ditch effort.
Or you could call V. Paul Reynolds and he could go down there with his broadhead arrows and his compound bow to help solve the problem.
I used to keep them out of my garden with monofilament.
They
can't see it. They hit it, and they can't believe. You know, they just won't pass by it.
It spooks
them absolutely.
Spooks them, yeah.
Use at least 10, 12 pound monofilament right around the garden, and that'll do it.
Oh, I didn't think of that. Any sense that you guys know if that works for deterrence?
Deterrents are hit or miss, and the problem with them is you have to reapply them a lot because they're prone to getting washed away by the weather. But there are some that are made of like egg whites or egg wash that work okay, and some made of capsaicin, the spicy stuff, and peppers. But really a physical barrier is the best option you have. If there's something you can protect with either a fence or maybe, as Bob mentioned, some sort of monofilament barrier, that might be a better bet than a chemical deterrent. There's also some other things like motion-activated noise cannons and sprinklers that'll spray deer and things like that when they walk past the motion sensor, and those could potentially be an option as well.
That could be a good filming event.
Yeah.
All right, great. Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate the
invitation, right.
And have a great month.
Yeah, and you know, if you get really desperate, give me a call.
Appreciate a silent bow and arrow here.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, very stealthy. Appreciate the call, sir. Yeah.
Good night, John.
That begets a question, Nathan, that I have wondered about. Don't know the answer. I should, but I don't. Does a municipality have the unilateral right to close down the entire township, or not the township, but the municipality to hunting? Do they have that right to do it unilaterally without state involvement?
I think that the towns that are closed like that are closed in statute, so they'd probably have to work through the legislature to make that happen. But if a whole town was on board with closing to hunting, I don't imagine they'd have a hard time getting that through the legislature.
Okay, so it'd be a legislative act.
Yeah.
They can't just have a council meeting and say, we're going to close the whole town to hunting.
No, they could do something like a discharge ordinance, potentially, yeah, which would limit the weapons that could be used and maybe effectively cut off a lot of the hunting.
Yeah, yeah. That's interesting. The entire island of MDI is off limits to any type of hunting, including bows, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
There's some offshore islands that could potentially be hunted. Some smaller islands.
So I guess it's the attitude of the citizens of the towns. They don't want to do it.
It's up to them.
Yeah.
And we've always had the stipulation, too, that if we're going to try like a limited hunt there, we want there to be a long-term vision for hunting generally there. We don't want to just try something for 1 year to reduce deer numbers. We want it to be open.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. We have another caller. Let's take it. Good evening. You're on Maine Outdoors with Nathan Bieber. Go ahead.
Hello, is that me?
That's you, yes, sir.
Yeah, I had a question about the deer tracking system where they put the collar on them with the tracking device and they tag their ears.
Yep.
I've been taking pictures on my trail cameras of does only. Did they put any collars on any bucks?
We only collared does. We did collar a few fawns, though, including buck fawns, but the fawn collars are designed to break off after about 6 months since they grow so much in those first few months of life. So we don't have any adult bucks collared. And as of now, too, all the collars we have remaining from that project have been shut off, so none of those are active anymore.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Because I've been getting pictures of a couple does with for 5 or 6 years now. I'm getting pictures of two of them regularly. One has triplets this year, and one has twins.
Wow, nice. So where do you live?
In the Skowhegan area.
Oh, okay. Well, we haven't collared deer there for, 4 or 5 years. So if they're still around, those are some old deer.
That's what I was thinking, because, like I said, it's been at least 5, so I was thinking they were, 6-year-old deer.
Yeah, they're up there.
So those collars aren't active anymore?
Those ones would be dead battery at this point. Our batteries would last, they're supposed to last about 3.5 years. We would get about 2.5 to 3 years out of them. So those collars are probably dead battery. But there are some out there that still have battery life that we've just turned off at this point.
Is there any way to get access to any of that tracking information to see where those deer have been?
Yeah, and I can usually figure out what deer those are. If you send me an email, that'd be the best way for... what's a good way I could get his contact info, maybe so we're not sharing it on air?
Oh, we can have Norm can get his email address.
Okay, yeah, if you could give your email address to Norm, and then I'll get it from him, I'll send you an email, and we can figure that out, and I can try to figure out what deer those are, and maybe send you some maps or something.
Oh, that would be great. I was wondering if that would be available to the public, but yeah, that would be great. I'd love to have that information just to see where they've been.
Yep, no problem.
And there's no charge for that. The only thing you have to do is go out and buy a subscription to the Sporting Journal.
Well, you're a hustler, ain't you?
Yeah.
you're looking for the crime hunting spot. And
oh, just kidding. Just joking. Okay.
Yeah, so am I.
You stay on the line, and we're going to get your email address so you can communicate with Nathan, okay?
Okay, I've got one other comment. Yeah. I really like with a 270. Could we have a 270 season?
Yeah, well, that's my caliber. I agree with you. The heck with those shotguns.
Me too, actually.
You like 270?
I got a 270 short mag.
Oh, yeah. Great round for deer or elk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right, stay on the line, and we'll hook you up with Nathan, okay?
Okay, thank you. Right.
Yeah, you too. Thank you. I have a question on when you put these collars on these white-tailed deer, what specific information are you looking for?
Really, we wanted to look at winter survival and then what factors influence whether or not a deer is going to make it through the winter. So we're looking at, did the deer survive the winter? And if they didn't, what were the conditions during the period when it died? And then we can do some different modeling techniques to look at, on average, what are the conditions like when deer are not living in the winter?
So you know the deer's expired if it stops moving, I guess, right?
Yeah, what'll happen is the collar, if it sits still for about 4 hours, it'll send us a different signal,
mm-hmm.
and just automatically emails us and text messages us to say the collar hasn't moved in a while, you should probably check it out.
And you locate that animal, right?
We try. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's not possible, but right. We try.
You do, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to take a short break here. Bob has a message he wants to convey to everybody.
I certainly do.
Before he does, I want to remind you, if you want to get through and talk to Nathan, you still have time at 1-800-966-1039.
And we have a short message, a little commercial here we're going to do for the General Appliance in Brewer. And they're located on Center Street in Brewer in a fairly new location as they've moved up the street now and are serving the public on the corner there. They have parts. They have gas lights, freezers, refrigerators, and all kinds of gas appliances, as well as composting toilets.
Ride the wave, baby.
Thank you, Norman. And they also have a full line of electric stoves and freezers and gas light. No, they don't have quite electric gas lights. That would be unusual, wouldn't it?
electric. I've never heard of an electric gas light.
Well, it's an idea.
I don't think it's a very good one.
They also have your parts. Now, if you need a part for any kind, they got a load of parts in it. Just about anything you need. Even our big shot here, Mr. Reynolds, has been in there for parts.
Many times.
I bet you have, and he's very satisfied, too.
Yes, they have.
The number to call over there is 989-3714, and talk to the Gary Coleman, who has been with the company now for what? How long, Paul?
Oh, 30 years, I guess. Oh,
at least. Yeah. At least.
He used to work for Al.
Yes, he did.
And he bought the place when Al retired.
Wonderful.
And he's doing a great job over
there. Good
man. Yep.
So stop in. We hope you will.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Yes, and we have a call stacked up here. Good evening. You're in Maine Outdoors with Nathan Bieber.
Yeah. How you doing? This is Mike from Augusta.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
And I don't hunt, but I always get a hunting license because I support hunters. They're great conservationists and great people. And but I have a lot of happy memories of fishing with my father on the Bucksport Road just past the Twilight Motel there. There used to be a brook there on the right as you're heading toward Bucksport. And this is back in around 1954. I was just about 8 years old then. And so I enjoyed that a lot. But I wanted to give you some information on one thing that's kind of interesting. We went over to Grand Manan Island a few weeks ago and was driving through the woods up there on Grand Manan Island and saw a blackish or grayish deer with a white tail, and it looked like a doe, a small doe. So I don't know what kind of a deer that is, but I just thought I'd pass it along as a point of interest. And one question I'd like to ask is, are they going to have Sunday hunting?
Well, we just went through a long process of several bills related to Sunday hunting, and we did a long survey of the public, and our department offered testimony against all those Sunday hunting bills, and the committee voted all of them out and ought not to pass. So Sunday hunting didn't go through there, but there's lawsuits I think that are still active. I've kind of lost track of where those are at with the whole what's it called, the right to food thing.
I
don't know if those lawsuits are active or not.
It's still in court. They haven't rendered a verdict yet.
Okay, so I don't know how those are going to resolve.
Yeah.
As far as our department goes, though, as long as the public doesn't support it, we're not going to support it.
Yeah. Okay, Mike?
Okay, I wonder what kind of a deer that was on Grand Manan Islands. Probably just a regular darkish white tail, I guess. It was grayish, and it was black and grayish.
Hard to say without pictures. If it was black, it could have been melanistic like the other caller earlier, which would be, again, incredibly rare. If it was gray, I've never heard of a gray deer. That'd be a new one for me. But really hard to say without pictures. So if you're ever out there again and you got a camera handy.
We watched it for about 2 minutes and then started to grab for the camera. And the deer, you know, they can read minds. He took off into the woods.
Yeah. All right. Appreciate the call, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay, great. Have a great week.
You
Thanks.
Too, Mike. Thank you, sir. Okay, do we have another caller backed up? Let's take it. Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors with Nathan Bieber. Go ahead.
How you doing tonight?
Great. Doing well.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Charlie from Garland. I've got a question. It doesn't really directly relate to deer, but is there a way of telling the tracks in the mud or the snow between them? How do you tell the difference between a cow moose and a bull moose? Is there any way of telling by the tracks if it's a cow or a bull?
Heck if I know. I would go by size, like white-tailed deer. If you got a monster track, probably a bull, smaller cow or calf. But other than that, I don't know how else you would do it.
No, I don't. Bob, what do you think?
Well, as Nathan just said, I mean, it's a big track would probably be a big moose.
Yeah,
a male.
Hard to be sure.
A smaller one would probably be a cow moose.
Be hard to be sure.
And even a smaller one would probably be a calf moose.
Yeah, we may have to ask Lee Cantor that question. Get him on the radio.
Okay. I suspect it would take a lot of years of experience to get good at it too. And even
so,
then,
yes.
You're probably flipping a coin a lot of the time.
I was up north on that adaptive moose hunt.
Yep.
This week. And saw several tracks and took pictures with my cell phone. And a lot of them had a space between the hooves that were really wide. And then there was another bunch of them that had you know, narrow spaces
yeah.
between the hooves. And they were basically the same length, but different space yeah. between the hooves.
Yeah, we're running out of time. We appreciate your input, yeah. and we'll try to get an answer to the question if there is one, okay?
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Right. Thank you, sir. All right. I think we are just about out of time. Now, at the tagging stations, are you asking people to donate a tooth from a deer for record keeping of any kind?
Yeah, we pull a random sample of teeth from deer that we examine at meat lockers and registration stations, but we're not asking people to just send in teeth.
Yeah, okay. All right. Okay, I think that pretty much wraps things up. We want to say thank you for being here tonight, Nathan. Did a great job.
You're welcome.
And,
happy to be here.
And we know that you answered a lot of good questions that folks have. Did you have something you want to add, Norm?
No, not really. We're about 10 seconds out.
10 seconds out. So I guess it's time to remind you. Next week, again, thank you, Nathan. Come
yes,
back
sir.
And see us real soon. We appreciate it. Next week, our ghost guest next week will be author Tommy Carbone from Greenville,
who
has a new book called I Am Penobscot. And we'll see you all next week right here on
Maine Outdoors.